It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Brown, it's the end of 2021. This is the final thing you'll be recording, I believe. How are you feeling?
Yes. Can you believe it? I can't believe it, Scott. It feels like my brain is still in November. I can't believe it's December 13th at the time of recording this.
There is that. There is the literal fact that it has been a year of this again. We thought for this final wind-up, this will be going out on the Monday before Christmas. It'll be my last day, but Mr. JB will have been gone for a week by then. So maybe you'll be playing a bit of Ori, you'll be playing a little bit of Halo, you'll be playing all the things that he hasn't got around to. Fights in tight spaces, he can't get enough. But by the time this goes up, it'll be my last day. But we thought for the last wind-up of the year, we would just round up all the different things that have helped us get through lockdown overall. So you can class that as the last 18, 20-ish months, whatever it's been at this point. And we're just going to go back and forward different things that have got us through. So I'm going to open things up by talking about discovering Tame Impala. Now, I know the Tame Impala is a big old big old deal, because when I did the tweet about him saying, like, oh, I'm listening to this dude, which is literally looks like you. I just sort of was like, this is more JB in my life.
I wish.
The Slow Rush album is just a very chill, very relaxing, very just beautiful album. And there was something about the vibes of that, the whole presentation of that thing, that just completely washed over me, and I absolutely just devoured it all year long. Most of 2020 and most of 2021. But I know you've been a fan for a while anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about music, because music has definitely been the thing that's, I think, allowed us to escape both good and bad things.
Exist,
year,
I was going to say, yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, more or less, yeah. But just like your journey to discover Tame Impala was a joy to watch unfold. And then I really enjoyed that this was all capped off, because we went out for one of our very first kind of like get-togethers, I suppose, when lockdown restrictions were first eased. And we were at a pub outside, and I think they were playing the Slow Rush the speakers, and it was like a bit of fate. It was like a nice little wrap of on that bow. It was couldn't write it, some would say.
No, I know, I forget what song that was, but I remember that just being like that was like a lush little, like, is this the Truman Show, but like in a good way. I'm just sort of going, hey, by the way, we'll play this theme for the boys. But so my first thing would be Tame Impala. What's what you throwing up?
Well, I'm just going to throw in music in general, man, because I think we should like talk about that, because the looking forward to the new Music Friday every week that, you know, Spotify like puts together your release radar and stuff, just having a constant stream of new music to jump into has been unreal. Specifically this year, it's been all Japanese breakfast, right?
Nice.
Because I love it when you enjoy something and you can take that enjoyment across different mediums. So this year, Japanese Breakfast dropped a new album, Jubilee, my favorite record of the year. Some absolutely unreal tracks in there. I've been like spinning that thing over and over again. But that did the thing where it made me branch off into other areas too. So I was listening to the album. I read Michelle Zauner, who is like the lead vocalist, you know, the main person in the band. She did a memoir called Crying in H-Mart, which is about, you know, kind of her life and her dealing with her mother's death, who died by cancer a few years ago. And then I jumped from that into Sable, obviously, which is soundtracked by Japanese Breakfast. So if I think of one specific like thing that is defined this year, it's the stuff of Japanese Breakfast, because everything that band's been involved in, I've just eaten up, my friend.
Yeah. Japanese breakfast for me, my intro point was that song that's on Sable. It's the one that plays when you first leave the camp near the beginning. I don't know if there's more in that game overall, but I really like what I heard. I need to listen to the rest of it. I haven't really thought that much about actual albums of the year, but I am looking over the rest of the things that I'm going to be mentioning for the rest of this show, and it's nearly all music. So we might as well just ostensibly make this a music podcast for the most part. I went on when the Spotify Wrapped stuff came out, and it was like, oh, you listen to like, it was like 64,000 minutes of music or something. And I know that wasn't actually that much. I think you had more than me. I think like, my wife had more than me. And it's like, I still have music on all day, but it is just that thing where there's like, I think it was Joe Biden said it, but I've actually been thinking this since the beginning of the lockdown stuff, that you now have something in common with everyone on the planet. Like if you went anywhere in the world, you know, you could talk to anybody and they've been through something similar. And I think that that is a weirdly, like, it's, I mean, it's a positive thing to put like a word on it, but it is like an interesting reality of going through this. And the with music, I mean, something I'll get to in a bit is that, like, you know, like some people have made lockdown music, and it's like, it's knowing that your favorite artists or like people that you look up to or people that you keep up with are also going through this thing, and this is their way of expressing it. Like, obviously we've, you know, hosted stuff and done whatever, like streams and news reactions and things across the last 18 odd months. But there is a weirdly connecting feeling to like listening to music track the same thing, or going, okay, you guys went through this for a few months and you came up with this, and I feel this like in a different way than I would have done before listening to it in this particular period.
No, I fully agree. You know, I don't want this podcast specifically to be, you know, too much of a downer. I want to try and celebrate the good things of the year. But when I look at the year, like this year for me personally was harder than last year, even though, you know, we had less lockdowns and stuff. I personally felt more adrift and more disconnected to, you know, people. And music has been a really good anchor, I guess, in lieu of that, in struggling for that human connectivity and wondering whether, you know, people are ahead of me, whether I'm like stagnating, falling behind, whether I'm still, you know, regressing or whatever. Like music to, like you said, you know, to get those perspectives, to get that point of connection from people who have been either releasing lockdown albums or been doing like, you know, live performances through Zoom and stuff. It just was that nice reminder, and was nice and grounding, and has been that one constant thing in a year completely in flux that I've had to look forward to every single Friday. Every single Friday, first thing I do, Spotify, New Music Friday, release radar, see what's out, see what bands are going and stuff.
Do you know what's funny? Until you've said that, I didn't know that was the day that that was on. I just thought that was just a thing that existed. Release radar, whenever I go there, there's always new things. Didn't realize it was a Friday.
I knew you wouldn't, Scott, because when you mentioned earlier about the new Tame Impala thing releasing a few days ago, I almost said, well, did you not see it on your release radar New Music Friday? And I was like, I don't want to, it might sound like a dig if I say that. So I just didn't. And I was like, no,
you and I both know that I need a lot of guidance in this life. And I didn't know that was, it was a whole thing I could do. No, the thing is, like, overall, like, because I remember, we've talked about that. I mean, we've talked almost every day this year. We'll talk all the time, most of the time.
And so, like, have talked every
day. Exactly. Like, if we're not on on Slack order, we're messaging each other anyway. But no, I think that, like, it is. I mean, we're living through a moment in human history. Like, I think that, like, I very much had a lot of downswings as well. And I'll go into my next point in a minute, because it's definitely from that. But yeah, there is that feeling of, like, you know, you want to, like, we have an audience, we have, like, people are going to be checking in. Like, you want to try and say something that will help everybody and whatever. But, like, I've just kind of fallen back on, you know, you're getting through it. Like, it's whatever like, form that takes is the best way to be. Like, you know, it changes over the year. It has changed over the year. But I think the fact that we are here talking at all is the fact that you are getting through it. Like, and that's more totally than enough.
And I think, you know, the reason the Japanese Breakfast album in particular, just before we moved up, before we move on, why that resonated so much is that, you know, I've really enjoyed a lot of lockdown art. I'm a big sucker for a lot of sad boy music, as you probably know. One of the things I'm going to get to
tell the people what your favorite genre, what Spotify said your favorite genre was.
It was bubble grunge.
Bubble grunge.
I'm not even entirely sure where that is. And I saw a lot of people just being like, what is bubble grunge? But yeah, unlike some of the other stuff I'm going to get to, which is very much in the kind of the darkness of the year and stuff, like Jubilee was such a, you know, intentionally a joyous record, you know, so to have that to go back to, which is, you know, someone who is known for singing about their grief in some of the darkest periods in their life, kind of not putting that to one side, but finding a way forward, finding a way to find happiness, to find a bit of joy, like that sentiment in that album. I was just like, that's exactly what I need. Yes. Thank you, Michelle Zahner, for giving me this LP.
I Yeah, like I think I said this on one of the UBPs. Me and Jules got a question about something similar, and I've always thought this way. I think my grandma first said this when I was a kid, and I think the Queen said this at some point in one of her addresses at some point.
I cannot believe you have name dropped Joe Biden and the Queen as like
and my grandma
sources so far. Your grandma.
I'm just putting her in there.
Yeah. I mean, she's cool by default.
Yes, well, exactly. His stature is already established. But no, I mean, I like in that regard, I'm always I try to be a glass half full, light a candle in the darkness kind of person. I just think that like we need to, fundamentally, you need like a certain level of light to move forward. Otherwise, you can't see forward kind of thing. I've always thought a whole bunch of philosophical stuff around that. So no, in regards to like, artists lining up with that, my next pick is actually Miles Kennedy's new album. And Miles Kennedy is the singer of Alter Bridge, but he's done a lot of solo stuff. Two albums so far, but he's very much his newest album was very lockdown fueled, where he sort of just sat down, has a big resonator guitar, which is a very metallic clangy guitar, and just did a bunch of like very folksy songs about getting through this stuff. And I had a notable downswing earlier this year where I was just like, oh my god, how much longer is this going to go on for, and just all the things that people think about being in lockdown, the realities of it and everything. And I was driving to my parents because I hadn't seen them for a while, and was just thinking like, oh, like I'm gonna go and do this, I'm gonna check in with them, that's fine, but I'm only checking in with them. I can check back in a few weeks. It's not normal. And everything in the moment felt like that it wasn't like you weren't, it was, everything was like an event that you were doing. It was sort of like an unlockable. It was like, well, you can do this for a bit and then you'll go and do something else. And nothing felt like it was actually connecting. It was just sort of like you are almost a character in a game able to access all these different things, but you're conscious of it. You're aware of it. You're aware of these little tasks that you're doing. And everything is very segmented. And he has a song on the new album just called Wake Me When It's Over. And it's literally just very much on the nose of let me know when things are smooth again. And it was that thing that I mentioned before, of like realizing that like all your favorite artists, all the people that you look up to, and the they're also going through this, and he's able to write this song, and it's quite a like positive, like cheery song. But the way Kennedy writes, like he'll do what would be or what is quite on the nose stuff. Like he has a song called Worried Mind where it's just like, let me ease your worried mind, let's talk about this, what we're going through. And it's just like, having seen him live the other week, like he sings his guts out every time. And I know that like him as a person is very much, he wants to put like good vibes out, and it's just like you need to get through it. And he's been through a few other afflictions over the years, like he has tinnitus and he's lived with that and whatever. And it was just that thing of like doing that drive, being on a downswing, listening to him, who I love, Miles Kennedy, he's like my favorite vocalist, artist, whatever, singing about the exact thing, the exact energy that I was in, where I was like, okay. And I just like, it brought me back in that moment where I was like, yeah, fine. Yeah. Everyone's going through this. We're all connected in the same way. And we are getting through it. And, his version of getting through it is writing this song. Mine is checking in with my parents, like whatever. And so that will be one of mine. Miles Kennedy's new album overall is very solid, but the Wake Me When It's Over was just lush. And then I think he opened the gig with that when I saw him live, which, like you said, it's like Truman Show style of like, well, the protagonist will probably like this song, so I'll put this on. It was great.
No, I love that, man. Like that exact kind of thing. And I love that, I feel like a lot of us have had those kind of like touch points, whether it's like an artist, whether it's a piece of media that has kind of like snowballed into something else. Like you said, listening to that song in your car, then finally being able to see that song performed live is such a journey, It's such a thing to look forward to, then to have pay off further down the line. Like for me, like my big lockdown piece of art, because I didn't want to listen or really watch anything explicitly about lockdown, like first happened, like last year.
Remember when we all watched Contagion? Remember when that took off last year? And it was like Contagion did the rounds, and it was like, oh, this is literally like a documentary at this point. This is kind of freaky.
Yeah, we're just morbidly watching this stuff. But, obviously, like, there were a bunch of films that were like, we're going to do a pandemic movie, we're going to do a lockdown movie. And I was like, I don't want to watch any of that. No, I don't want to watch any of it.
Escape.
Yeah, I want to escape. You're not going to do it right. It's not going to work for me. So when one of my favorite artists, Bo Burnham, announced that he was doing a new special that was about being in lockdown, part of me was like, I don't want this. I don't know if I want this right now, because so many people have failed to fully capture what it was like, what it is like, in this kind of, it just doesn't feel true. It doesn't ring true, and it's not something I want to watch. So I was a bit hesitant going into that special, which is called Inside, and dropped on Netflix like in June or something.
Yes,
but obviously I sat down and watched it, and I just thought, this might be the best thing I've ever watched in my life. I have approached Inside, both the film and the album, like a five-year-old child rewatching Batman and Robin on repeat. Like, this has become such a comfort blanket, which is kind of strange considering how dark the subject matter actually is in the show.
Yeah.
But it's just it becomes something that I've watched and listened to and related to so much that's been my one constant throughout this year, especially in the thing that I've gone back to for, again, that point of like connectivity, because that's captured at least somewhat approximating my experience in a way that nothing else has.
Well, because we talked about this when it first came out, because I'd not seen, just me being stupid, in my head, Bo Burnham was actually Norm Macdonald. I thought Bo Burnham was a large lad or a chunkier lad. In my head, I was like, well, that's Bo Burnham. Over the last 32 years on this earth, for whatever reason, when I thought of Norm Macdonald as a visual, I thought that was Bo Burnham. So when I realized Bo Burnham was not that man and was actually... I have no idea. I think it's the word Bo. I think because Bo feels like a lovable sort of larger man that I just was like, well, clearly that larger man is Bo Burnham. I have no idea, but whatever reason, I'm connected to that. Bo Burnham is actually not him at all. And so my first Bo Burnham anything was Inside. And so the first time I watched that, I, like you said, a lot of the subject matter is very dark. He's very much steering into being completely honest about the reality of just how it makes you feel being in lockdown. And it can be, towards suicidal thoughts and things like that. And for me, when I watched that, I was like, oh my God, this is so dark. This is so... unrelentingly bleak that for me, like I said, being all, where's the lighter? Where's the candles in this darkness? Can I put these on? It wasn't my thing. First time, and I messaged you and I was like, you've got to like walk me through this. Like, I'm not getting why everyone's loving this. And I think you just sort of spelled out like, look, it's because it's so frank and because it's so honest and because it's acknowledging those thought processes, that's what makes it work. Like he has to go that strong or it wouldn't have that connection. And I kind of went back in after that. I've watched it like four or five more times since then. Like you said, the songs are an absolute bop, especially the Jeffrey Bezos song, which there's so many versions of that on YouTube now. But it was that thing of just kind of going like, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging the reality of what we're going through. And I think that's the thing that he really writes large. And I went back in with that sort of adjusted mentality of, because I was going in going like, it's going to be a soul-stirring, uplifting thing because that's what we need right now, which, like, it just was. It's not necessarily that. You can find uplifting sentiments in there, but he's very much going for, like, this is what we're all going through, and it's the harshest side of it kind of thing, and I think that's just as essential as anything else.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome. Like, what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like, what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Yeah, totally. I can fully understand why people would bounce off it, or if that's not what they want in that point at all. But for me, like I said, you know, there was so much lockdown stuff coming out that didn't really, for me, grab what it was like and grab the, or deal with it in a frank and honest manner, or would like try to like, you know, romanticize it or something. And this wasn't necessarily that. This was like, the, like I said, the closest I got to looking in a mirror from my year and a bit, you know, inside. And I just thought, like, yeah, like this, it's dark, it's frank, it's honest, but it was something I could like live with, especially in this year where I felt so adrift to other people, in wondering whether they're having a completely different experience than me as we move out of lockdown, and the kind of the rules become a bit more confusing, and it's like, well, what's going on, what's not going on, to have this kind of point of like, oh, okay, this is just everything I'm thinking writ large on a screen with some really funny songs in the mixer. I just thought that was, it was the tonic, exact tonic that I needed, and it's like the only lockdown thing now that I think I'll do, because it's nailed it in one, and I'm like, that's the space I will go to when I want to find some comfort in myself or whatever, in my experiences, and like, it's like, that's all I need.
Yeah, man, definitely. That's the thing going forward. It's like, because you just know right now there are 50,000 film executives going like, well, we need to do movies about lockdown. It's just sort of like, whenever a horrible thing happens, we need to get in on that. Like, I don't know about you, but I have zero interest in every single one of them. Like, the nearest that I'll go is, was it Host was the horror one that came out? That might have been last year.
Yes, Host,
but Host was like,
year.
Yeah, it was like, what would a Zoom call horror movie be like? And that was like quite innovative, and it was quite well done for the budget and stuff. But I largely, if we ever get, I don't think there's much of like an end point to put on this. I think it will just be something that we largely live with, in regards to, there are already like 5 coronaviruses out there anyway. It's just that we have to learn to live with different ways that you tackle the actual literal virality of it. But that whole thing of like, when things smooth over enough and borders are open and whatever, do you think, like, where are you at on like exploring this more? Like, let's do lockdown films. Like, I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'll go over here now. Like, I'm gonna go, you know, go to a zoo or something.
That's exactly it. You know, I mean, yeah, exactly like you said there, you know, we're doing this as a kind of reflection of the year, but we're not saying like, you know, oh, now we're out the other side and everything's good again. Enough. You know, obviously things are still ongoing. You know, there are new variants popping up literally right now as we record it, that we don't know how they're going to spill out and stuff. But yeah, just looking at the past year, like, I don't want any lockdown films specifically about it. And it's going to be interesting to see like how movies address it. Like, you know, when we get up to new productions, we get sequels and stuff, like in the worlds of those movies, will they have also either gone through or still be in like a pandemic, or will they just not address it at all and kind of like just live on in the fictional universe where like they didn't happen and everything is normal? Like, that's going to be interesting. Like, in Spider-Man 4, for instance, will they reference the fact that this has happened and this is going on, or will it just be like, no?
Well, it's like, because we're talking about like, in a way that it's like been reflected in art, and obviously everyone's going through this, and there's a lot of like you know, albums and stuff that's like, it's like literally you can go front to back, like conceptualization of an album, put it out during lockdown. Games and films obviously take longer. I'm sure the Forgotten City mentions COVID at one point, or mentions lockdown. I've heard like a line of dialogue in there. That new movie by Adam McKay, the Don't Look Up or whatever, like, it was originally about global warming, but now it feels like the most lockdown movie ever in regards to vaccinations and stuff. So I kind of feel like some stuff will inadvertently get attached to the lockdown mentalities anyway. But yeah, I think it's an interesting like line to walk, because it feels like something that we're all going through, like, as individual humans in the real world, and that media has like skirted around it. Like, Charlie Brooker's thing at the end of last year was pretty terrible, where it was just
That's
trying
really
to
bad.
It was horrendous. Like, just really, just nothing. Like, I think he just had to tick a box. It was just like, well, you know, I do one of these wipes every year. Charlie Brooker being a, I guess, like, English comedian kind of thing. And he did a thing for Channel 4, and it was very much very empty. But yeah, there is that feeling that we're all going through it, and you need to approach it from a very specific angle. Or what even is there left to explore about it, other than we all know how terrible it is. Yeah. So there's all that stuff. I'm going to mention learning a new instrument as my next thing, because I love learning instruments. I'm just going to sort of throw down. I learned the shakuhachi this year, which is the wooden flute that Jin plays in Ghost of Tsushima, which is the only reason that I knew what this thing was going into it. Very old school, ancient Japanese flute. Only really capable of like a hand. Well, you can learn to do a lot more notes on it once you get specific breathing techniques down. But the thing that I love about it is that, say you pick up a flute today, like a modern day flute, there's a thing called an umbrature, which is the thing that channels any like blowing of air that you do down into the right shape of air so that it produces notes. And then umbrature will sit on top of a flute when you blow into it. And if you get a shakuhachi, they don't come with one of them because it's before that thing was needed. So the whole technique is learning to shape your lips and shape your mouth and your breathing technique. You need to breathe from a diaphragm. You can't breathe like from above. You need to channel like a core air kind of thing when you exhale. So doing all that in one motion is very hard and took me a while. But when you finally get it down, because you have to breathe so specifically and deeply and almost rhythmically, I guess, as you produce more notes, it forces you into quite a relaxed mindset. And then the notes that you then produce are, you know, can be very soft, very relaxing, very tranquil and therapeutic. So I just got lost in that thing. I only got it towards the second half of the year, but I can do sort of like 5 or 6 notes on it, which like in the shakuhachi world, from what I understand, is a fairly like middling to big deal, because some people talk about not being able to get anything out of it for months. I am lucky enough to be able to get a handful of notes out of it. And I just love that thing. I love just pretending that I'm Jin Sakai, just walking around the house with a little cheeky flute, just sort of doing a few toots on the way to making a cup of tea. It's the best thing.
I saw you post a few things about it on the old Instagram, and I thought, I wish I could have done something like that. You know, I wish I could have tried to learn any instrument, because I don't have the patience, I don't have the skill for it. But you know, I love the fact that, you know, in this moment of noise and chaos, you managed to find this nice little bit of quiet tranquility. Yeah,
well, the thing is as well, I mean, I've played guitar for 13, 14 years or something at this point. And once you have any instrument down and you have any bank of notes down, you can start transitioning it over. And like, it only takes one step. It gets patterns into your mind. It gets melody into your mind. It gets improvising on an instrument into your mind. And you can carry that over into other things. Because I did spend the time finally learning after 24 years, whatever it is, Aerith's theme on piano, because I've never been able to actually learn that whole thing. And I put that up on Instagram. It's only the basic version of it, but I was just glad to get that stuff done too. But yeah, just shout out to instruments. There's this very specific mindset or mentality that comes about when you're just lost in an instrument, where you're sort of just muscle memorying your way through something. And it fundamentally takes you out of the maelstrom of getting lost in what's going to happen next, what's going to do, blah, blah, blah. You can get out of that entirely if you're just making stuff, just making music.
Exactly the kind of space that I've been chasing since January this year. I've been trying to figure out, you know, some way to just turn my brain off. And the best way I've been able to find to do that has been obviously video games. That's why I've played more than ever this year. I played more new releases. I played more old releases. I don't think there's been a week where I haven't touched anything. You know, it's always been something, because it was the only thing that fully occupied my mind and my body. And as a result, I kind of fell out of love with telly and films. Mm-hmm. And I tried to get back into books, which was really good. That kind of put me in a specific mental zone. So I've read way more books than I have in like the past 10 years in this year.
You've read more books this year than I have in my entire life. I'm just every time I see you tweet, I'm like, well, that's one more than I've done in the last 10 years.
I loved books, but I could just never fit them in, because I was either watching like loads of movies, listening to lots of songs, playing a lot of games, and you only have so much bandwidth, don't you, especially when you have to factor in work and socializing. And but this year I specifically made time for books. But what was great is towards the end of the year I got the spark back for some other things. Like I started trickling back into movies when we could safely go to cinemas and stuff, and things were coming out more reliably to rent. But TV was like the big revelation. I got into TV this year, Scott Tilford, in a way that I never have, because I briefly mentioned it before on these podcasts that TV scares me because I'm slow to watch it, and I don't trust new things. If something doesn't have an ending, I won't watch it, because I don't want to waste my time. I've wasted so much time in my life watching things that either finish
like peters out or something,
or it just peters out and I like get lost 8 seasons in. I'm like, well, that was my entire time gone, mm-hmm. and I've wasted that now. But this year, Midnight Mass and Squid Game, obviously, you know, like the biggest thing in the entire mm-hmm. world, like mm-hmm. they got me back into telly in a big way. And watching Midnight Mass, especially, which I know you've seen,
I loved it.
Just something new, something fresh, something entirely that seemed, again, Truman Show-esque, entirely engineered towards my tastes. Mm-hmm. That got me back into it. And like watching that, I just thought, it finally gave me a bit of post-work joy, which I struggle to get sometimes when I log off here and I just kind of feel done and I'll stare at the ceiling for 6 hours and then go back to work the next day. Like, this was something to look forward to every day that I could put on and be like, right, this is what my brain is fully focused on. I'm not half watching it and worrying about X, Y, Z. I'm just watching it and I want to know what this big, sexy vampire does next. You know, that's all I need to know.
To that point, just having like a regular, because I miss, this is a separate thing, but I miss weekly shows. Like, obviously there was the whole Netflix brought about the binge mentality, and you've got so many shows, so many outlets just go, here's everything, here's this entire season, go binge this. And some stuff goes back to a weekly rollout model, but I just so drastically prefer that. I love the conversations that happen from those episodes each week, and I love whether it's social media, whether it's like the likes of like Reddit or whatever, or just being able to talk to people about a show. Like, I feel like that's the thing that goes away entirely when you can just binge it, because all of a sudden the conversation is just, well, like, have you got here yet? Okay, no, but I can't talk about this because of the spoilers, blah, blah, blah. But if you're keeping up with something, you can have those conversations, and I miss that. To that end, I'll throw in, I didn't have this written down, but I will throw in AEW. I got back into wrestling this year.
Yes.
Which, at the minute, AEW is on a bit of a weird middle downswing where it's not anywhere near as good as it was like 2-3 months ago to me. When I first came back, it was like firing on all cylinders. But that period when I first got back into it, oh my god, was when we started having, you know, two shows a week to watch again. It's like 1 2-hour show, one 40-minute show, and just getting lost in getting back into wrestling for the first time in literally 20 years. And just like, there's so many cool new moves, there's so many cool new superstars, there's just so many cool things in AEW right now. And obviously all the buzz around that company is how much they're taking on WWE and how much they're siphoning viewers across from WWE. And I, you know, the reason I got out of wrestling was just literally growing out of it, I think. And just the way that WWE didn't keep me hooked across the 2000s, or the very early 2000s. But AEW knows exactly what it is. And I think the fact that it's helmed by wrestlers, it just has that vibe where it's like, okay, we know what you guys want to see. We're going to do big, crazy stunts. We're going to have a man who's called Luchasaurus, who's an 86-million-year-old dinosaur man, doing a backflip off a ramp onto five other men. And we're going to have the guy who's actually the vice president or whatever, suplex a guy through a burning table, just because why not? Why not do that? And so I've had an absolute blast getting back into wrestling across the last like 3 months or whatever it is now. And that stuff's been great. And like you said, having something to watch every week, having a long form storyline, it's ticked that box in a way that lots of other big shows just haven't, because they've just either all been available at once, or they haven't been on a certain level of engagement where you don't have those fandoms alongside, which like is something that I just yearn for. I wish there was a Lost. I wish there was a Prison Break. I wish there was a whatever week to week.
I know what you mean. I feel like, you know, like a lot of stuff that just comes out now, like feels, even when
Wheel
it's of
Time
not,
just dropping, just there.
Yeah,
no
yeah,
one cares.
It just sort of feels disposable, and it's like, oh, you don't even get 5 minutes anymore. You just get like, you know, a brief window to talk about this stuff to get it hyped, and then it's gone, and we're on to the next thing. Which, yeah, I guess, you know, when it comes to like AEW, especially having that booked in every week, and more importantly, having the momentum behind the discussion. Like, I don't watch wrestling, but obviously by sheer osmosis of working for this company, know a lot about it. You know, it always comes up on my Twitter, for instance, and, you know, seeing like the big pops for CM Punk returning and stuff, like it was an infectious vibe.
Yes.
It wasn't enough to get me back in, but I was following it online and I was like just loving the kind of like community response and how just sort of solid that fan base was in embracing this and embracing like returning fans like you, you know, Scott, like it had a good vibe to it. And that I think a lot of, you know, even like the bigger shows are missing, because it kind of comes out and you got your subreddits and stuff, but it like dominates the conversation for like 2 minutes and then that's all you get.
The next thing down that I've got, which I just wrote down the word animals, which is not the song by Architects. It's or the song by Nickelback. It's literally animals, because me and my wife went to a couple of different zoos this year. I went to one for my birthday, and I can't even think of the name of the zoo now, to be honest, but we've been there. And we also do a lot of nature walks and stuff. I think being stuck inside so much made me cherish and love nature even more. Like, this would be the craziest weird sentence, but I love water. I love rivers. I love waterfalls. I just love drinking it. I love being around water.
We've had this conversation before because I want to know if anyone else is like has this weird fixation. Like, I also love water.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of swimming. Like, I yeah, just swimming, think about it all the so time, good. Man.
Yeah.
And I think when I'm in a...
We got back into swimming this year as well, but like I remember when Halo 3 added water and they had that tech demo of how it works, and I was like, it's like water that.
I used to play Grand Theft Auto 5 to jump in the pools to see how the different severity of wetness.
Buoyancy as well. Let me put different objects in fake water and see how they bounce about. But there's nothing better than real water. And but yeah,
are we just thirsty? Like, are we dehydrated? Is that it?
Two thirsty boys. Maybe we'll rename this next year to two thirsty men. But I think but that's the whole thing. I've got a whole thing about nature. My wife loves the autumnal period, but loves like trees and stuff. And I love water. So we just get out there and just go stare at stuff and just be a couple of hippies. But also part of that is that there are obviously tons of nature walks that intersect with different wildlife parks or different parts of those parks that have like a llama enclosure or a couple of horses or whatever. And I just had this thing capitalized by the fact that we then went to a zoo for my birthday where I was like, I really love animals. Like, I've not that I've never not loved them, but I've missed them. And I realized that when I went back outside again, I was around a bunch of different, there was everything in the zoo. There's just little tortoises and there was some giant spiders. There was a little stick insect that waved at me when I went past. And I was like, this is incredible. And I'm just like, you guys don't know what's going on, do you? Like, you're always inside. This is kind of forever your lockdown, but it's nice to see you all. And we went into like an enclosure with a bunch of kangaroos and it was a very innocent time. And I think that I mentioned before about that feeling that I had before Miles Kennedy brought me back of everything just being a finite thing that you're accessing before you go back home again or before, you know, that thing ends and it's not fun anymore or whatever. And being consciously aware of that in the moment when I was at the zoo, when I was doing this like nature stuff, I wasn't consciously thinking I am having fun right now. This is fine right now. Everything is okay right now. I was just in the moment, I was just doing the thing, and it was great and enjoyable and quite innocent, and it was a return to innocence in a way that I think that lockdown can sort of rob you of in a way, because you're suddenly cynical about everything, or you're suddenly aware of everything, and I think that maybe just sometimes you just need to go hang out with a bunch of llamas every now and then.
I think
maybe
you do. That's just what I wish. That's if I've lacked anything this year, it's a lack of llamas in my life. I've seen not a single one, and I'm very disappointed by it.
Yeah, well, they've got lovely little tufts of hair. It's kind of like me. It's a very nice time. And I would just get yourself out. Not you, but I mean, you as well. But the world, go hang out with some animals. That was one of my last things to say.
I'm going to do it, man. I haven't been doing that because, and this is probably my last one as well, just as we wrap up, I've finally done something this year that you have long requested I do.
Oh, no.
This is going to sound weird, considering that I do two podcasts a week, but I'm not really into podcasts at all.
Oh, and I know you're not.
I never listen to them. And I'll tell you why. It's not because I have anything against podcasts. Obviously, I really enjoy doing them. It's because when it comes to our work, I often avoid similar media. So I don't listen to, you know, gaming podcasts that are similar to us. I don't watch gaming news videos that are similar to us, not because of jealousy or anything. I just don't want...
We've already covered it for the most part.
Well, that's the kind of thing, you know, in my spare time, I don't want to just be kind of retreading the stuff that we've already talked about. I will obviously watch, I love, you know, video essays about video games and stuff, but I mean like the content that we do.
Shout out to Super Bunny Hop and Joseph Anderson.
Yes.
Sorry, carry on.
Noah Caldwell-Gervais while we're on. But podcasts especially, like, it's just something I never got to because we do so much of it. But this year I was like, right, I'm going to sit down like I did with books. I'm going to get into podcasts. And I kind of have. There are two podcasts that I actually listen to. One called You're Wrong About and one called You Are Good. And they're nothing to do with video games, but they're kind of, one's about movies, one's just about general topics. And it's been such a joy to finally, 12 years too late, get back into this medium that I know so many people love and that I obviously do as a living. It's just been, it's been weird. It's been wild. I feel long overdue. But it's been a good replacement for when I've been trying and failing to go to the gym to listen to these while I'm gone.
The thing that I love about podcasts, I still am a massive Giant Bomb fan. Love Jeff Gerstmann, love those guys. Like, obviously they split this year and the rest of the Giant Bomb crew formed Nextlander for the first time in like 15 years or whatever it was since they formed Giant Bomb. But the thing that I love about podcasts is that it's ostensibly a group of people. Like, I just love that group feeling. Like, I love a group of passionate people talking about stuff. And so give me a bunch of passionate nerds, give me a bunch of passionate anything. If you get a bunch of people who are passionate about pavements, I'll probably listen to it for like half an hour. I just love representation manifestations of passion. And so, like, the Jarring Bomb thing, I remember when someone back in the day, back in 2007, 2008, was like, oh, I love just putting this on, and it sounds like I'm hanging with a bunch of friends or whatever it is. And I think that that value is obviously exponentially greater during lockdown, because it's just, you can just throw on a podcast and hang out with a bunch of people in this weird, half-connected way. And I remember when Ryan Davis passed away from Jarring Bomb, and everyone, like me, was devastated because it felt like we lost a friend. And I remember that whole team going through that stuff and just being like, we have this connection with all these people that we don't know, but obviously you guys know us, and you build those connections over time. And I think that's what I love checking in on. You talk about like weekly check-in stuff. I would look forward to, and I still look forward to every different podcasts every week. And so that for me is the inextricable value of podcasts. And I've been loving the Play Watch Listen stuff that Alana Pierce has started putting together with Troy Baker and Mike Biffle and Austin Wintory. That's the thing that I really want you to listen to. And anybody who's listening to this, to be honest, because that pod is just rammed with behind-the-scenes stories, little tidbits, the way games come together, because you've got Biffle's coding expertise, you've got Troy Baker's voice acting expertise, you've got Alana's journalistic expertise, and you've got Wintery's composer expertise. And they just cross over so much, just going like, did you guys know about this? No? Well, go. Well, let me tell you. And they have so many cool stories. And just fleshing out the reality of making games from those four perspectives. That stuff's been brilliant. But yeah, podcast overall, it's a good time.
Good. And, you know, go back to what you were saying about, you know, it being like a hangout vibe. I feel like that's the thing that we kind of try to do with these podcasts.
Is to have conversations
between each other in hope that people can connect with it and also feel like they're a part of it, even though there's obviously no comment section or anything like that. But that's why I enjoy podcasts now, and also why I've always, always enjoyed doing these podcasts specifically. That's what I was going to pivot to end, like doing this podcast, doing the Wednesday podcast with Ben Roy, you know, genuinely has been the best work times of the year, hands down. I look forward to these every week. And even if some of them are slapped together last minute, it's still a joy to have that half an hour or whatever it is to just kind of like chill out with you, chill out with Ben Roy, chill out with Jules sometimes, and just kind of have this time to just shoot the stuff and talk about what we want to talk about, and hopefully people like it, and hopefully my favorite messages are always when people message us about the podcast. It's just, it's a nice space. I like it. I hope everyone else likes it. It's good, is what I'm trying to say.
I love you too, is what I'm saying.
I love you, and I love the people who listen. That's what I was trying to get out.
No, the thing is, like, you mentioned the Jarring Bomb stuff. I very much modeled my hosting style on Ryan Davis, because I grew up on him. I grew up on him going, hello everybody, it's Tuesday, and like going from there. Like, there's a rhythmic musical quality to the way that he used to introduce stuff, and I love the 2000s era of Jarring Bomb, the late 2000s. Obviously they only formed in about 2006 2007, but they, if you want to go back to stuff, every weekly podcast with them was just such a joy. You can always tell, like I said, it's a group of passionate people hanging out, and that was what I always wanted to build with us. And I knew when we kind of soft rebooted the podcast stuff, we've done it multiple times over the years, whenever our boss sort of comes in and goes like, how are those numbers doing, can we change anything, can we do this, and we have to sort of try and figure something else out. And when that happened the latest time, I was like, okay, if we're going to do this again, then I want to have a slot with Josh every Monday, because I want to be able to check in with you and do our thing, whether it's talking about what we're playing or what news is happening, or just doing a podcast like this. And I wanted something with Jules, and I wanted the main podcast in the middle. And that's the best that we've done. Like, this is by far the most, like, you know, consistently successful thing that we've managed to do on an audio platform, to the point where we were number 7 in the UK last I checked on chartable.com for podcast downloads, which has been beautiful to see. And like you say, people get in touch, and people see us sometimes in person and say that we love the podcast, which is just the most heartwarming thing that we could get. I love that this is managed to pay off in that way. So yeah, massive love to obviously you, Mr. Josh Brown, and every single person who's listening to this for sticking with us, because we're however many years in now, and however many months in on this new sort of three-pronged attack that we've been doing, but it's been doing very well. So massive thank you to everybody. It is the end of 2021. We'll check back in with you 2022. Keep an eye on the video channel. We've got a whole bunch of stuff scheduled, but the next time we talk as me and Josh will be in 2022 with whatever games we get for Christmas. We'll have to wait and see how it all goes. For now, this has been the last wind up of 2021. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Josh Brown.
I'm going to finally play Metroid Dread.
Play Ori finally. And the Will of the Wisps instead, and we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.